This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Okay, let's start that one over.
That's a good way to start, yeah.
Screw it, I'll leave it. 131? We definitely get to start over. Is it 131 or 130?
It's 131.
It is 131.
Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode...
Now you're adjusting your underwear.
I'm not. I was trying to pull my pants up, actually.
Oh, so you were leaving the underwear, but you were pulling up your shorts?
This is pulling both of them.
Okay, there we go.
Welcome to episode 131 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John, and I'm a professional.
You're not going to edit that off, are you?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm going to leave that there so people go, why the hell are we listening to this? He's confident in just in his underwear.
Yeah.
So, the name of the game is, what did you watch this week?
And
we watched some stuff.
And some things.
Yep.
Did you watch any trailers?
Uh-huh.
I watched, like, one.
That's an odd place to jump into.
What'd you watch for trailers?
Well, I watched the second trailer for Glass.
Oh, I did watch that.
That was phenomenal.
Yeah, that actually makes it look even better.
Yeah, which it looked great.
It did look good to begin with.
It looked great during the PS at the end of Split.
Yeah.
It looked phenomenal with the first trailer.
Yeah.
Now it just looks just amazing.
And really, it's oh God, it's so cliche. Two worlds colliding,
mm-hmm.
if you will, because of how different the two movies are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's
peanut butter and jelly, man.
Well, no, it's if you were to take Glass, if you were to take Unbreakable on its own, mm-hmm. and then Split on its own, and you watch them both, and they didn't have the PS on Split, you know, for the teaser, and then they're like, oh, I'm going to make a movie where I combine those two. You mean, what?
Yeah.
Because they're so far apart from each other in the grand
they're both great, things. But they're both their own thing.
And they're many, many years apart.
Yes.
Sweet damn, does that look good?
Oh, yeah. Because this one focuses in on Glass.
It really does.
And how he's basically becoming the villain he was meant to be.
Yes.
He wants to meet the Beast. Oh, and she's got the light thing. Like, she's flashing the lights. And every time the lights flash, it's a new altar that comes out.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
Oh, it is.
It's pretty badass.
It is. And I had forgotten, and this is terrible, but it had slipped my mind up until now that not only was Bruce Willis unbreakable and super strong, but he had that thing where he could touch somebody and see what was going to happen.
I forgot about that because there's that scene in where he puts his hands out as he's walking mm-hmm. through the Grand Central Station or whatever it is.
Oh, it was a stadium.
Yeah, okay.
Because he was a security guard at the stadium.
But he picks up on, was it the little girl getting molested or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the scene. One of my favorite scenes to kind of nonchalantly show how strong he is, and I think they cut this from the movie, actually, is when he's at home and him and his son are trying to lit, and his barbell suddenly goes so high.
Mm-hmm.
So then he's at the stadium, the football team, in the gym there with them, and he starts pressing weight there.
Mm.
And it's just, they show him just really slowly just kind of doing it, and then everyone from the football team has stopped and is just looking. Because he's pressing like 600 pounds or whatever.
Yeah, I think that one must have been like a deleted.
They should have left that in. It was just a cool scene.
Well, in this trailer, it's fun because, you know, he's like, he's sitting there in his room and he's like, you know, you got to get me out of here. I need to stop them. You know, he's being fine. But
Hero
then finally, like, they're not letting him out. So he just destroys the door.
Yeah. And if you look, he has a reinforced door.
Your phone's going to die.
It's my other phone. I don't care.
Okay.
It's not even my phone. I listen to podcasts on it.
Okay.
Play
your
Yahtzee.
Podcast phone is going to die.
Wesley calls it my yellow phone.
Okay.
Because it's got a yellow case. And he's three.
Yellow and black. Yeah, definitely yellow and black.
Yeah, like a bumblebee.
What was the one trailer you watched? Other than the second Glass trailer. Because you led off with that. You said, did you watch any trailers? I watched one trailer.
I know. Now I forgot.
Okay. I watched the live action Aladdin trailer.
How was that? I saw it.
It looks like, so far, it looks like a shot for shot remake of the animated one, only yeah. live action stuff.
Now, I remember I watched the Beauty and the Beast. Yep. That was okay. I really enjoyed Maleficent, but yep. it was a retelling of the story as right. opposed to, but the Beauty and the Beast was pretty much,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
This looks good.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about Will Smith being the genie. It's not Robin Williams, but it can't be, obviously.
No, he's dead.
It's not Dan Castellaneta, which is fine. I got used to him as the genie on the animated series, but, you know, he was never Robin Williams' genie. So I'll be interested to see what they do with Will Smith.
Huh.
I don't know if the genie is going to be CGI. Basically, you got to see the intro part. You got to see the Cave of Wonders and hear the cave talking and saying, you know, seek thee out the diamond in the rough. And then you get to see the one scene with all the treasure piled around and the live-action Aladdin reaching up and grabbing the lamp and picking it up, and then it cuts. So, haven't seen Jasmine, haven't seen Jafar. Saw Iago, live-action Iago flying. That didn't jog any memories?
No.
When I went to see a movie the other night, I saw a trailer for The Upside. And the only reason I'm mentioning it is because it's so far out of Kevin Hart's wheelhouse, because it's Kevin Hart, which yeah. Kevin Hart's a funny guy. Kevin Hart can't get a job.
Yeah.
He's a little black man, can't get a job. And this is actually a drama.
Okay.
He gets a job as the caretaker for Bryan Cranston, who is apparently a super rich guy who can't move from the neck down.
Driving Miss Daisy.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's heartfelt, and there's some humor to it, but, you know, it's heartfelt, and they learn lessons from each other, and it just didn't seem like a normal Kevin Hart thing, so that's why I mentioned it. Nothing?
No.
All right.
It's not going to come to me.
The only other one that I saw was another trailer for Overlord, which I really want to see.
Overlord.
That's the one with World War I, I believe it is, maybe World War II, where they parachute in, and then there are those, like, zombie creature things.
Yes!
Yeah.
Looks
the one that looks like a normal war movie for a while.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you're watching, and you're like, wait a minute.
Because the Nazis made.
Yeah.
Zombie creatures.
Those are all the trailers I watched.
Yeah, I did watch the Glass trailer. I watched this other trailer, and I was like, oh, I got to remember to talk about this later, but I didn't write it down.
Now I'm bummed.
Yeah.
Was it The Body, the Hulu one? Because that trailer looks good.
I know, but I did watch The Body.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about that.
Okay.
So, but, yeah.
So we got some shows to talk about.
I rewatched Saw. Sorry. Jigsaw.
Oh, Jigsaw. There's yeah. a big difference.
It was on Hulu. I was sitting at work, and I was like, I think I'm going to watch this.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to, you know, to get out of my brain, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, it was good. I liked it a lot. It wasn't as good as the original Saw. And it felt like the first time I saw it when they did the whole, like, the reveal at the end, I was just like, oh, come on. I don't know. I didn't like it as much then as I did now. It felt less contrived, less just overall. I enjoyed the movie better with my second viewing.
Gotcha.
Than I did the initial viewing.
Okay.
So, anyhow, what did you watch?
I watched TV a lot shows. Of shows.
Yeah? Like what?
Well, Flash came back.
I did watch that.
The episode was titled Nora.
I could not remember if we talked about it or not.
Nope, we did not.
Week. I didn't think so.
Nope. Because we recorded on a Tuesday when it was on.
Okay. She just openly told them everything right from the get-go. Quite like, this is what's going on. Yeah. This is what's happening.
I'm your daughter. I'm from the future. This is my name.
I know all of you. I grew
up like this. I'm a superhero known as Excess because, Mom, you always said when I was a kid that I did everything to excess.
Yeah. I mean, even the parts where throughout the episode where she just really is just kind of clinging to Barry and just doesn't seem to want to do anything with Iris.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how long this is going to play out. Oh, this episode we get the reveal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I like her as a character.
I do too.
Yeah.
They went through kind of a really weird arc where it was like she tried to run back to the future, but then she fell backwards and couldn't because they said she had negative tachyons. And so they decided to rig up that old thing that, you know, Reverse Flash had done up for Barry to make him fast enough. And
no, he used that to go meet Supergirl the first time.
Yes, yes. Well, and didn't he have something else? Yeah, he used
there
it.
There was another reason.
He used it in the first season of Flash.
Right, but that's when he used to go get to the...
Because Eobard was draining his speed force through it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they rigged that up, and then they had a smaller version that he would have so that they could both run together.
And then he could basically slingshot her.
Yep. Oh, but they got blown back because of the reverse tachyon, negative tachyon.
Right, right.
But then it turns out that she had the power in her all along.
Right, she knew that. Well, she rigged her. She booby-trapped herself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So basically,
just that had negative tachyons.
Yeah, because she didn't want to get back because she knew if they could send her back, they'd send her back. Right. She wanted to spend time with Barry.
Because she basically tells him, hey, that newspaper that apparently nobody else, like, I thought that Barry and Iris had seen this because she had the byline.
Me too.
You know, but it's that big title that says, you know, Flash disappears in crisis.
And it changed.
And then now she showed him that, you know, a further paper says 25 years later, Flash still never reappears.
Right.
So she's been missing Daddy her whole life.
Yep.
Because basically he disappeared when she was just a kid and they don't have any real good memories together. So that's why she wants to cling to him as much as possible.
But Wally comes back from, you know, meeting with the legends in the future.
Which is weird because they said Kenan Lonsdale was done. Like, he's done with the show.
Evidently not.
Mm.
But he came back from being with the legends to say, hey, she can't go.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was weird.
Yeah. Like, well, there are soft spots and then there are fixed points, yeah. Which they borrowed from Doctor Who again.
Right, right.
But yeah, so he's like, well, this could be a soft spot, so, you know, you should keep her around and have her hang out. Yeah. Had a one-shot villain of the week, Gridlock, who basically absorbs any kinetic energy and then turns it into lightning and gets strong.
Yep, he does.
And they beat him by basically making sure that he was in an airplane, and for 10 seconds there was zero gravity in there, so with zero gravity there was no kinetic energy to grab him.
Right.
So
it was science. At least it wasn't some, you know, tool that Sisko had to just whip up in a blink of an eye.
Right, you know. Right. Because he was hung over the entire episode.
Yes.
And they taught Nora to phase so that they could phase the entire plane through the buildings and into the sea or into the river.
That was kind of cool.
That was cool. I got some good vibes of, you know, superhero action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I always enjoy that.
Oh, and Caitlin's dad might not be dead.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we saw that.
It'd be fake because I did like Ralph's whole arc there where he was basically like
behind the times on everything. Yes, yeah. I love how he was talking about them. Yeah, Ralph, that's the multiverse. We've explained this to you before.
But it was cool because, like, usually with Flash or Arrow or whatever, they pick up after 3 or 4 months have gone by.
Yeah.
This one picked up right where it left off. So Ralph had just come out of the Thinker's control.
So he...
Sorry, Mike had to go on.
I was hoping you would talk. That's why I waved at you.
Most people say waving is don't talk. This would be talk. Or this. Yeah.
They can't see your hand motions. This is an audio medium.
I can see your hand motions.
I'm talking yours.
When you're giving me the no hand motion. Anyway. So, yeah. So, Dibny is basically... trying to figure out the many-verse instead of the multiverse. He calls it the many-verse.
No, it was a good episode all in all, I thought.
At the very end, the PS, we get to see the villain of the season, Cicada.
Yes.
Lots of sound effects from off-screen.
Right, because, you know, cicadas make a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm. And he ripped the hell out of some people, apparently.
Yeah.
And they had a pretty cool rig set up for Gridlock. But you get the impression that he killed him because the guy, Gridlock, said, what do you want? And he goes, I want all of you to die. Or did he say all of us to die?
Something like that, yeah.
And he had a metal lightning bolt that he charged up and then killed him, I guess. We'll find out.
Did you watch Supergirl or Arrow?
Supergirl, yes. Arrow, no.
Okay, so I didn't watch Arrow. Oh, by the way, we're recording this on Tuesday the 15th?
16th.
God. Tuesday the 16th, mm-hmm. Just so everyone knows. Anyways.
It'll probably go up later in the week.
Huh?
It'll go up later in the week.
But just.
Yeah.
So I did watch Arrow. I mean, Supergirl. I didn't watch Arrow, but I watched half of Supergirl.
Okay.
I stopped
watching.
Not because of disgust. I had to go do something.
Oh, okay.
I had to go pick up my son.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. I had to stop and abruptly to go pick him up. And then when I came back, I ended up raking up the leaves for my youngest son so he could jump in them and doing some yard work and stuff. And really didn't get a chance to finish it because then I watched wrestling.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, because as a family, we sit in the living room together, and the TV is on what my three-year-old wants to watch. And my wife sits in the chair, and she does what she wants, either reading a book or tablet or whatever. And I usually read a book or do what I want. Tonight, I was watching New Japan Pro Wrestling on my laptop with my headphones on. And then on the other side of the couch is my 12-year-old who's sitting on there with his school laptop, technically, watching YouTube videos with his headphones on. So we have some good family time together. We're all doing our
family time in proximity.
We're all doing the same. We're all doing our own thing, but at least we're in the same room together doing it. You know. But so, anyways, I didn't finish it. What I saw so far, I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
They introduced Nia. Oh, the transgender girl.
Oh yeah. And she's the. I can't even think of what her name is. No, but she's the one who's going to be the reporter, the cub reporter.
Right. Her name's like Nia Nell or something like that. And she's playing, what's the name of her character? Nia Nall is what it is. N-A-L-L. And
I honestly
she's playing Dreamer.
Okay.
Dreamer. And here's what's interesting. And I know it's interesting to me, I guess. Because I was looking the character up.
Mm-hmm.
The actress playing the character is named Nicole Maines
mm-hmm.
from Maine,
mm-hmm.
where we live, by the way, everybody.
Yeah.
Apparently, I didn't realize this, but I don't know if you remember this, but they had the big Supreme Court ruling about transgenders and which bathroom they can use mm-hmm. and everything in Maine. She was the Jane Doe in the case.
Oh, well. Yep. Well, I guess she's not Jane Doe now.
Well, not anymore, but at the time, yeah. She was still a minor in high school.
Gotcha.
So I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I got a friend who knows her and her brother very well.
Well, that's the thing. They were identical twin boys.
Nice.
And Nicole, her character was Nia, apparently identified as a girl since she was two.
So Dreamer, that's the
Dreamer.
Huh. Okay.
First transgender superhero, which.
It'll be interesting to see.
Here's the thing, like.
What her powers are.
When you look at her on the show.
Yeah.
She looks like a girl, dresses like a girl, this and that.
Because she is a girl.
Right. But she's going to be a transgender superhero, so does that mean she's going to be a man superhero? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what?
I don't think so. I think if anything, it would be male transition to female.
But I guess my thought is they've made a big deal about this in the media, comic media, news media, whatever you want to call it, on the internet. They made a big deal of the fact that Supergirl's going to have a transgender superhero, first, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, like, does it matter? Because the only way it matters is if they make a point to talk about it on the show.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
So like, that's
why I said male to female, because I'm thinking that there's going to be an arch where she'll say, you know, I was never understood, or I've always identified as a woman, but, you know, I was born a man, or something like
that. So this has to be addressed and talked about on the show in detail, probably.
Probably. Because otherwise it's just another character.
I hope they do it tactfully, and it's not beat to death, and
right.
I don't know. Like... I actually am curious to see how they're going to handle it and where it's going to go.
Yeah. I just want to know what her powers are going to be. I haven't looked it up purposely because I want to...
I don't know what her powers are going to be either. What it was is I was watching the episode and I was like, who's Nia Nall? Because I had heard of her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked it up and I'm like, oh. Like, I guess the main connection is kind of neat as well.
Yeah.
Here's what's really cool, though. If you look at a picture of her next to her brother...
Mm-hmm.
You can see how they kind of look alike,
mm-hmm.
but they don't really look alike.
Huh.
I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Oh, damn it.
What?
My laptop keeps turning off. Yeah.
Anyways, like I said, I've watched about half the episode. I'm liking what I watched so far.
Okay. Did you? I watched the whole thing.
What'd you think?
I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't want to go anymore.
Well, you only watched half of it.
Well, yeah, I'm going to watch the rest of it no matter what.
Maybe.
I am.
Maybe.
I am.
No, it was good. The theme this season is less about, you know, otherworldly beings coming, and it's all about essentially nationalism.
You know? Hate crimes towards aliens?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you get to the part where the screens were up and you saw all the chat rooms?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So basically all these chat groups that are, which
dark,
sorry, this is 2018. There are no chat rooms. But.
Okay. I did have a problem with Supergirl's in the hub, and the phone rings.
Yeah.
And she pushes and goes, hello. And she's like, hey, that bomb didn't, you know, it didn't work as well as you said it was going to work. Mommy, blah, 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 blah. Who is this? It's Karen. I got to go. Click.
Yeah. That was terrible.
That was terrible.
But yeah, so basically the whole theme here is that there are several people disenfranchised
around the country.
Around the country that don't like the fact that these aliens are now being given amnesty, that these aliens are allowed to live among us, that Lena is making lots of money on image enhancers so that they can look human and get jobs. They took our jobs! Is basically what it comes down to.
That was the title or the subject of many of the posts.
Mm-hmm. Took my job! He took my job!
Yeah, so alien hate in this episode.
Yep.
I liked the beginning. I went to go back to Flash real quick.
Yeah.
I liked the beginning where, you know, Barry's suit was tattered, so he wears the old suit. And he, like, knocks the guy down with his punch, and then he saves, like, the security guards or whatever. And they're like, hey, Flash, wearing the old suit today? Yeah, it's a long story. You know, do something about that guy? And he turns
around. And then suit gets shredded again.
Yeah.
He went through, like, two or three different suits in this episode.
Yeah. I just thought it was hilarious. Great. Hey, Flash, old suit? Yeah, da-da-da-da. Yeah, do something about that guy?
But now he has the ring.
Yes.
With the suit inside it. The badass looking suit. Cisco's like, I invented that? Oh, I'm not even upset.
Or like Gridlock. Why did he get such a crappy name? Who came up with that? Then later on, no, he's creating Gridlock. No, I came up with it. Like,
yep.
So you didn't watch Arrow, you said?
Correct.
Okay. So did you see the teaser poster for the crossover?
I did.
Elseworlds.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I hope it's better than the gimmick that they're promoting.
In the poster, you saw Steve Amell as The Flash and Grant Gustin as Arrow.
Yeah.
And when Grant Gustin posted on his Instagram, he goes, he made a point of saying, this is not fan art. This is legitimate media marketing campaign.
Yep. And when Stephen Amell posted on his Instagram, he wrote, my name is Barry Allen, and I'm the fastest man alive.
Right. And then later on, someone posted, now a fan art one showed up as Steve Amell switching places with Kara from Supergirl. So he's got the blonde hair, but the but the beard and everything, and she's in the Arrow suit, and he's in the Supergirl outfit. And he, like, someone had posted that, and then he, like, retweeted and commented, come on, man, I can't unsee this.
I didn't know it was coming.
But we're getting Elseworlds. It's going to be December 9th through the 11th.
Yep.
Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl, so three episodes. And the crossovers going to introduce Batwoman, Gotham City, Nora Fries, and Lois Lane.
And Superman in a black suit. Did you see the picture?
I did, but now it's Elseworlds, which explains the black suit. Because I saw the photo of the black suit, and I'm like, what the frick is that, you know? Mm-hmm. And again, we talked about last week, I saw Ruby. Maybe we didn't talk about it.
Yeah,
Ruby Rose, okay. Yep. Sometimes I forget, like, if I chatted with you about it or if I just talked about it in the Discord chat group or Rude at Work, whatever.
Gotcha.
I don't hate Ruby Rose in the Batwoman costume.
No, I like it.
Pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, looks good.
Yeah. What else did you watch, dude?
A Million Little Things was really good this week.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Greg, the guy who had breast cancer, it's his birthday, and he hates his birthday. So, but everybody always wants to do something for him, and John always had something big for him. So they're all kind of like, well, what would he have done this year? You know, what would he have done? Maybe he has something set up because, you know, he killed himself just a little while ago. And he basically got them, what are those things? Like Dream Camp for the Boston Bruins.
Okay.
Fantasy Camp, maybe?
Fantasy Camp, yeah, that makes sense.
So basically they're going to be playing on the ice with Boston Bruins and other fans for the day. And they all flip out. They're like, yeah! but... basically, what's his name there from Grimm, the one who was having the affair?
Yes.
Yeah. His wife picks up the phone and the hotel's like, oh, we searched room 312 and we couldn't find your necklace anywhere, sir. Sorry. We'll try to get back to you. And so she asks him about that. And essentially the affair is now out in the open. Like all the friends know, everybody knows, and it's a shitstorm, which I'm glad. I'm glad that we didn't like pussyfoot around this the whole season. Basically, breast cancer, Greg there hates him.
Yeah.
He's like, you are a fucking piece of shit. You know, of course it's ABC, so they can't really use those words, but he's like, dude, that was your best friend and you have a wife. I don't care if things are bad with your wife. You get a divorce.
Right.
And you don't sleep with your best friend's wife behind his back. What is wrong? I mean, he really lets him have it. And he's like, I want nothing to do with you. You're a piece of shit. And the other guy, like, tries to play mediator between the two of them, but it's not working too well. His wife is like, no, we're done. She's like, the only reason that I'm a workaholic is because I've been trying to keep this family together. I've been trying to keep a roof over our head because you just teach guitar lessons. And, you know, every now and then you teach at school. She's like, I've had to do this to keep us afloat, but this is unforgivable. And she goes and confronts John's wife as well, but basically says she can't be mad at her because, you know, she hasn't been around as much. So it was good. I'm glad that they're pushing that forward so that we don't just sit there and dwell on it the whole time. I'm still enjoying it. What else did you watch?
I forgot to watch The Good Doctor last week.
Oh, it was a good one. 36-hour shift.
Yep. I watched I'm caught up on Law & Order SVU this season. It's a very good season this year.
Okay.
They've done a lot of rip from the headlines, mm-hmm. but fictional, so they put their own spin on it. I haven't watched this one yet, but I think it's this week's episode is essentially what Kristen Kruick
mm-hmm.
and company did, you know, branding of the girls and all that stuff like
gotcha.
That. So they're touching on that. The most recent episode featured kids being separated from the parents when they illegally crossed the border. And there was a girl that was like separated from her parents in Texas and brought to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then she kind of ran away from where she was and she got picked up by these people and gets stuck with a human trafficking ring and on and on and on. And Olivia tries to arrest the federal agent that brought her to New York. Cause you know, he's doing his job. She just agrees with it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It was kind of dumb.
Yeah.
But so far, this season's been pretty solid. It's the 20th season. It's been solid. I've been enjoying it. I watched...
New Amsterdam?
I did watch the New Amsterdam, the one with the rich lady who yep. wants to give him $10 million and follow them around the hospital and on and on.
And I thought that they were going to undo the whole, you know, we have a jail here because they were talking about Rikers Island and bringing mm-hmm. the prisoners. But no. They're still... We've got
in fact,
a jail
they actually
here.
Went into more detail because the first time we saw the jail, it was just the one doctor going in. This time it shows there's guards, there's security, there's, you know, there's x-rays, there's, I mean, yeah. on and on and on. It's a legit jail.
Yep.
And you have him just talking about how great of a Mary Sue this hospital is because like, we got a jail, we got a school, we got a this, we got a that, we got a that. We got like our own little city inside here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
It's a bit much.
It is a bit much. If it was floating in the clouds, it'd be much more believable because then you'd know you were in a fantasy world.
Exactly.
But here they're trying to make it realistic.
Which it's not.
No.
You know, he talks his wife into staying and not going to her parents.
That was painful to watch.
It was. You know what I think my problem is
okay.
with this show? Which I keep watching it and I'm trying to figure out if I like it or not still. Is Tom Keene.
Mm-hmm.
He has no inflection in his voice.
Right. He's very low spoken and monotone.
Yeah. It's not really believable.
It's okay for the character that he has here, I think, because this character is supposed to be somebody who's basically trying to be neutral.
How can I help?
Yeah. He's trying to be everybody's friend and you know, keep everybody happy and not push too hard, but push at the same time. He wants to really push, but he doesn't want to push.
But not push.
Right. Yeah. I like when Martha Jones there got called out for a $15,000 handbag.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, anybody who has that obviously spends more time shopping than, you know, with their patients. And,
yeah, she got
spent time with my patients.
She got made to feel inadequate by these people who wanted to wanted her as their doctor, and they had a hard time getting an appointment with her. And then they're like, oh, we really need someone who wants to focus on our patient's health and not on, like, you know, being on TV.
Yep.
Hmm. And so she got offended by that.
So this woman was supposed to be giving them money to keep their hospital afloat because basically he was going to get fired. Tom was going to get fired.
Yeah.
Because they don't have any money. So this woman, you know, her husband was there. They saved him from a heart attack. And so she wants to donate the money. And he's walking her around, showing her all these different things.
Well, her husband wanted to.
Right.
Now, yeah.
And he ends up convincing her that they should open essentially a daycare / maternity section
yes.
at Rikers Island.
So that way, like, an inmate who has a kid in prison can stay with the kid.
Yeah.
For how long?
And we already looked it up, and there's no law against it. We just need money, and she's got money.
Yeah, and I've already talked to Rikers, and essentially—
They think it's a great idea.
They think it's a great idea. They can just take a room and make it happen
there's
now.
There's a whole place that's not being used.
So we have this, everything just works out well.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
it's a Mary Sue.
Yeah.
I didn't watch Simpsons or Family Guy.
What about Lethal Weapon?
I feel like I started watching it.
This was the one where his father-in-law was coming to town, Trish's dad.
Oh, I did watch that one.
And Cole's daughter was going to come spend the night with him for the first time.
I enjoyed that.
Yep.
I really like Cole.
I do as well.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Damon Wayans to
get really
done.
I really can't wait for him to leave now because I'm like, here's the thing. I like Trish. I wish they could figure out how to keep Trish on the show.
Yeah. Let's kill Damon Wayans in a violent way.
And we'll just keep Trish on the show. She can be the DA or something.
Yep.
Whatever. But, like, I like Cole. I didn't realize his wife was dating somebody else or his ex-wife or whatever.
I didn't realize that.
They didn't really imply that in the first couple because he's trying to get back together. But anyways, I really like his character. And I liked his, like, his daughter being there and you know, like, she heard what he said to the guy trying to stop him from jumping.
Right.
And that didn't work well, but he fell on a mattress on a hood of a car. But then his daughter kind of can connect to him now more
mm-hmm.
than she could before.
Yep.
So that worked out.
You and I said that from the beginning. He should have just been honest. Of course, we were saying it about his wife, but, you know, works for the daughter too, apparently.
Right. So, yeah, I just – and then he's going to go have a meal with them and shows up. And good thing they have that very conveniently placed giant picture window over the dining room table.
Yeah.
So you can just look right into the house to see how great they're all getting along together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, and the sub story was about somebody who was part of a scam to rig the lottery.
Was that it?
Yep.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I didn't even really care because I was more interested in what Cole was doing.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. There was crime going on in the background.
Now that you say that, I'm like, oh, that was happening in one show I watched.
Yep.
Was it the show?
Yeah. And then Roger, well, there was also a lottery ticket in The Good Place. So, but this guy was the one who, like, had the lottery ticket and he had the winning numbers written on his arm.
Yes.
And Cole picked up on it. But yeah, it was good. More Cole, less Murtaugh.
So speaking of The Good Place.
Yeah.
What'd you think of this episode?
Snowplow.
Yep.
I liked it. It's a great show anyway.
It is a great show. I was kind of curious what they were going to do.
They really sped things up.
Yeah, they really did.
Like, they jumped ahead 3 months and, you know, Eleanor's going to leave the study because she doesn't have any money.
Right.
So
they have her, so they give her a lottery ticket so that she wins.
Because Janet, when she came down to Earth, brought with her all the knowledge that she had, so she knew exactly which lottery ticket was going to be the winner.
Yeah, and so she gives
she doesn't have any new knowledge.
Right, but she has that.
Yeah.
So I love how she talks to everybody. Like, she literally has the knowledge of everybody on the planet and what's happened past and present. And I like it when she's like, I won like $18,000. And Todd, he's like, oh, that's too bad. Oh, wait, no, that's a lot of money to you. Okay.
Right. I forget that for you people, that's a lot.
But at the end, basically at the end of the day, the group's going to break up. They're going to come back together in a year.
Yep.
and that's just the way it's going to be.
So do you think they're going to skip ahead of here?
No, because, well, Michael wanted to reset Earth.
Right.
Remember?
Like he tried to do it.
That's his solution.
Yeah.
And, you know, Janet's like, ah, Michael, we really shouldn't do that, blah, blah, blah. But he opens the door for them to go through the portal.
That's right.
And the group shows up and like, what the frick is that?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah. I like how Eleanor had her blow up spell when she knew the group was going to leave. And so she just shit all everyone and then left and went outside. And then she meets up with Chidi's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of her name.
Yeah, I don't.
Anyways, meets up with Chidi's girlfriend outside and they have a heart to heart. I just like how she talked to her. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I saw my friend had a complete meltdown and lose her mind.
Yeah.
So I decided to like come out here and find out if she's okay. And I liked how she talked to her. That's all. But it's a great show. It's a fun show.
She basically told her, you know, my friend blew up at me and called me these names and basically roasted everybody in there. So
yeah,
it was very real.
It's a good show.
It is. Did you watch Superstore?
You know, I'm trying to remember if I did.
It was the baby shower episode.
Yes. Where they buddied up the baby shower for like three different people because Cheyenne didn't get to have one. And
well, Jonah had a great idea in the beginning. He really did.
He did.
He's like, just make a baby shower registry, have it be for tomorrow. And then afterwards you get 25% off everything. She's like, God, I want to hate this idea, but I don't. He's like, I know it's terrible, isn't it?
It's a really good plan. You know, yeah.
Until it shows up in the system and they're all like.
And then offended that she didn't invite them.
Right.
So now she's going to do something little, just a break. And then
10 minutes in the break.
Yeah. No, but now Darusha, we didn't have a chance to have one. So we're going to have one for Darusha, even though we're not actually having the kid.
Right.
You know, and then, but Darusha's friend who likes to mouth kiss people, which. Creepy.
That was creepy.
Yeah. She's pregnant too, so we're going to buddy up on her. And then, oh, we didn't do one for the ditzy girl, so we're going to.
Cheyenne.
So we're going to buddy that one up as well. And then
Bo shows up because, you know, Cheyenne's getting stuff.
Right, exactly. And it just all just blows up in his face. And he's like, it was a really good plan, remember?
I love it with Garrett when he was like, so how long have you two been dating? He goes, how could you tell? And he's like, you just look happier than you have for a long time.
You're happier than I've ever seen you. Yeah.
Really? No, I saw you make it out of the parking lot last week.
Yeah. And it ends.
Yeah.
But leading up to that, though, is I like the fact Amy's opening her gifts.
Mm.
And everything is the shits.
Oh, it's terrible.
Homemade stuff or handmade stuff or garbage or this or that or whatever. And Glenn's like, oh, we didn't have time to do anything special. We just got you something off the registry. And it was the car seat she wanted.
Yeah. Because did you know the car seats can expire?
Yeah.
What are they, like fruit?
Yeah, okay. I don't get it either. But they do have a date on them that they're not supposed to use them by. Because I guess...
Wear and tear.
Integrity of the plastic breaks down?
No.
But anyways.
And then...
But she gets it, and she's all excited to have it. And that's when she kind of turns and makes eyes at...
Jonah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's when Garrett's like, oh, hey, so long.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it was pretty obvious. Like,
right.
I got it, yay! So...
But the B story to this was it started the episode.
Oh my
with the
God.
Photo ops.
Oh my
Dina
God.
Dina and Glenn and Jerusha and trying to make all the pictures. And, you know, why do we have to do Alvin and the Chipmunks? Jerusha's like, it's my favorite television show. And Glenn's such a Theodore. He's like, yep, I never get into trouble. And she's definitely much more of a Simon. Well, I wear contact lenses now. Like, that's what makes a Simon is wearing glasses.
And I like how Dina agrees to do it, but she's going to be Theodore just to spite him. He's like, fine, I guess I'll be Alvin. And he was so pissed.
Oh, yeah. He's like, always getting in trouble, breaking the rules. But then Mateo basically tells her, he's like, I could take better pictures of you. You know, we could do different things.
Yeah.
And he does, like, the Virgin Mary.
Oh, my God.
The last one he ends up with her hanging there as
like
an angel.
In a harness, on a cross, as an angel.
I guess we're really lucky that Doug had this in the back of his car, this harness in the back of his car.
And through the whole thing, she's in different outfits. And then she's just, like, in her bra and underwear, kneeling down with, like, a
sheer shawl.
Some sort of sheer lacy thing over her. I'm trying to think of what it's called when a bride wears one on her head.
Veil.
Like a veil, blah, blah, blah. And I found myself going, Dina is surprisingly attractive at times.
Garrett thought so, too.
Yeah. Oh, God, when Garrett's just standing there staring at her. But my favorite
sitting
part.
Sitting there.
Yeah. My favorite part is at the end where Mateo leaves to, like, go get batteries or something. And he sees Who was blowing up?
He got distracted by the baby shower.
Right, but because I think Amy was losing her mind, maybe.
Oh, might have been it, yeah.
And so he gets distracted and doesn't go back, and then Dina's stuck there, and then what's-her-face walks by.
Oh, Sandra.
Sandra walks by, and she's like, oh. Like, Dina's like, come get me down, Sandra, come on. And Sandra's like, keeps on walking, and she screams like, I respect you just as much as I hate you right now.
That was so perfect.
So, yeah, it was a great episode. It's a fun show.
Did you watch Murphy Brown?
No, I've only watched the first one. I haven't watched any more.
It's a typical half-hour show. This one was called Hashtag Murphy 2. basically dealt with, you know, the whole Me Too movement. And she remembered that there was a professor that took her under his wing back in college. And she got a collegiate journalist award, youngest one to receive it.
Yep.
But he threw himself on her. And so she goes back to confront him and takes his award, takes her award from him.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I watched, what's it called? The Darkhold? No. The new Netflix series, not Netflix, Hulu series. Into the Dark.
Into the Dark.
The Blumhouse Television and Hulu original movies. Yep. I watched the first one, The Body.
Mm-hmm.
Came out October 5th.
Yep.
I'm
going to check it out.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth watching. I mean, I'm not going to talk about it now because you haven't seen it,
mm-hmm.
but I really, really enjoyed it. It was a fun movie, good story, great characters.
The trailer looked great.
Takes place on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I look forward to you watching so we can talk about it.
Nice.
Because we're only a couple weeks away from episode 2, Flesh and Blood.
Mm. Which will be the Thanksgiving episode?
Yep, comes out November 2nd, so... But yeah, I mean, I really thought it was pretty damn awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah, it was fun.
We've got two episodes of Manifest to talk about.
We do have two episodes of Manifest.
Because we watched one of them right before we recorded
We did, yeah. You came over like last week when we watched This Is Us together, which we talked about last week, mm-hmm. obviously. We didn't watch This Is Us because we watched it at the same time Manifest was on. But I gotta say, the trailer for this week's episode, Jack in Vietnam, looks great.
Yes.
Looks very, very good.
So the first of these two episodes of Manifest was dealing with the death of that outspoken woman from the plane.
Yes, it literally picks right up where it left off.
Yep.
And it's basically, it's a murder mystery, if you will, trying to figure out who killed her.
Meanwhile, sub-story is that they find out that there's a new marker in the boy's blood. The neurologist finds that, and then she finds out that she has the marker as well.
Yeah,
basically, it's starting to look like anybody who was on the plane has this new marker in their blood.
Yes.
That they're not sure about.
And if we can just throw the two episodes together. And this most in the episode 4, we find that not only is there a marker in the blood, but there's some sort of like
activity
in the brain as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're looking at brain scans. And initially they thought it was this is the brain of the schizophrenic we have. And this is the brain of your patient because she scanned her own brain. But gave it to a colleague saying, oh, this is a patient.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it could be early onset schizophrenia, blah, blah, blah. But now we're looking at the fact, okay, no, this is a result of the flight, the turbulence, right. whatever you want to call it, whatever happened to them.
Yep.
So there's the marker and then there's the brain stuff.
Yep.
So that's kind of neat.
Right.
They're putting it together.
Yep.
So anyways, back to the previous episode.
Yep. We finally find out that the sister, what's he always call her, Mac? She,
her name is Michaela, remember?
Yeah, Michaela, that's right. Ugh. So Michaela is haunted because she drove her friend home kind of tipsy, because her friend was drunk.
Yeah.
But Michaela was supposed to be the one celebrating, but, you know, there was a cute bartender that was pouring shots for her friend.
Right.
So her friend was like, I'm going to drive home no matter what because I need my car in the morning. Michael is like, fine, I'll drive, but I'm kind of tipsy. And they crashed and the friend died.
But she didn't get charged with OUI, so evidently she wasn't.
She was cleared of it, but the friend's parents never forgave her. And they're like, we don't want you in this house. We hate you. You took our baby girl from us.
And she goes to meet her friend's parents to apologize because everyone has to. This was all about atoning for things in this episode.
Own your truth.
Yes.
Over and over again.
And we find out that mom or that her friend's mother has Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever it is, doesn't know her daughter's dead, really excited to see Michaela because, you know, haven't seen her in a little while and doesn't remember what happened.
Right.
Now, the husband does, and he seems to be cool with everything.
Well, he basically says that he doesn't want to keep reminding his wife. He says, I stopped telling her because, you know what, telling her every 10, 15 minutes that her daughter died and watching her collapse and then get back up because she forgot it again, it's not worth it anymore.
Right. But we also get in this episode that Michael is afraid to drive.
Yeah.
Because of what happened. And then on the other side of the thing, we're also learning more about the girl who was killed.
Yep.
Her husband and what's been going on with him and what she's done since she came back. Oh, and the other, like,
married the maid.
He married the maid, yeah. And then the C story is, while trying to figure this out, Michael uncovers a Russian protection ring.
Yeah.
That was going on.
Yeah.
Because they thought, oh, maybe this is who killed her, but it wasn't.
And they thought maybe it was the maid because, you know, this guy married the maid and then his wife came back. So she's like, she didn't deserve him. But we still don't know to this day who murdered her.
It was the maid.
Well, say what you want.
No, that was the whole point of it. Because Michaela goes to talk to dad, her friend's dad again. Mm-hmm. And when she gets there, he's like, she's gone. I don't know what happened to her. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I got to stay here waiting for the police to show up. You got to help me. And she's like, I didn't drive over here. I walked because I don't drive. So he gives her her car keys.
Right.
Now she's forced to drive.
And she stops somebody from hitting the woman who's standing in the middle of traffic.
Right. And it was the maid.
That's
and she
right.
sees the wife's. She remembers the necklace she was wearing in the interview and sees it laying on the thing. And then she arrests her. And basically.
That's
so
right.
now they had two. There was two.
I remembered the necklace part. I just didn't remember if that's what tied her to them.
There was two cases in this episode now that she solved by happenstance, but kind of through her visions.
Right.
Or as we find out in episode 4, they're calling them. The Calling.
Right.
Yeah. Which, really a lot more religious overtones coming out of it. Yeah.
We also, in this one, if you want to call it the D story.
Yeah, a lot of stories.
Little Sonny Boy got to have a hissy fit because his friend grew up. And his friend is now the boyfriend of his sister.
Yeah.
So now, and he basically turns his sister in because, you know, she snuck out at night. And he's like, she snuck out and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, why did you break our twin pact? And he's like, we're not twins anymore. And
he's got a point.
Yeah. So she's like, look, I was your best friend, not Kevin. And, you know, we're supposed to stick together no matter what. And basically, she doesn't necessarily guilt him, but she basically lays it on him that, like, we're going to stick together. I still got your back. You got to have my back.
Yeah.
But then at the end, the neurological doctor there, she's like, look, now that this woman's dead, we can actually get some brain matter and we can study this and find out about this marker. But she never made it to the morgue.
She never went to the morgue. And when she looks up her name, it says, you know, like, denied. So obviously the secret government agency has taken her body so they can test it and see what's going on with it.
Yep. Vague but mysterious government agency. Vague but menacing. Yep.
Oh, and by the way, it's the marker that was in their body I'm reading right here is isomec stroke of some kind. This is what.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They said that it was something that happens when people have strokes. And she was like, so what, you think we all had strokes?
But it's a particular type of stroke.
Because
it does something like they explained it way better than I'm ever going to. So I'm not going to try.
Right.
But anyways, it was a type of stroke. It has to do with, I don't know, oxygen or something or rather.
Right.
And it leaves this marker.
Yeah.
So. And then in this episode, there really wasn't a ton of stories. The major storyline was we find out that there was a stowaway on flight 828.
Yep. Somebody who was not on the
manifest.
Oh, see how they did that there?
But essentially, the long and the short of it, the flight attendant, Bethany, her cousin Leo, and his boyfriend or husband, whatever, Thomas. They're from Jamaica, and apparently the Jamaicans don't like gay people.
Right.
And so their lives were in danger. And apparently Leo had a plane ticket and passport, but Thomas couldn't get one in time. So she devised a plan where she got him on the plane by having him pose as a flight attendant.
Mm-hmm.
And when the plane got diverted and they were going to be in the pilot told her, hey, we're going to be landing at this other airfield and we're going to have law enforcement there and on, I don't know what's going on. So she's like, oh shit. Like he's not, you know, they're going to be checking people's names and IDs and this and that. So she, you know, gives him her phone and some money and blanket and tells him to climb down the cargo bay. And then when the plane lands, you know, crawl through the wheel well and run as fast as you can and get out of here,
yep.
Which is what he did. But of course, when he gets to the real world, finds out everyone's telling like Leo's not there, the phone doesn't work, it's been 5 years. And
everyone's telling him that, but he didn't learn it like with the group. He learned it from all these right. people who were saying that.
So he just feels like he's losing his mind. And then this is the schizophrenic that they think is a schizophrenic, and he gets admitted to the hospital. And so Michaela and Bethany and the doctor there, what's her name? Oh, Savina, right? Sanvi, yeah, Sanvi or whatever it is. S-A-N-V-I is her spelling. It.
Okay.
The Indian doctor.
Yep.
The chick. They're all seeing the weeping angel from Doctor Who.
Yeah. The flight attendant's not seeing it.
Sorry,
it's
that's
only
true.
Sanvi and Michaela.
Okay, but they're seeing the weeping angel.
They
which,
legitimately are seeing weeping.
Oh, angel. It's the weeping angel from yeah. Doctor Who. Yeah. But basically, it's. There's the statue, and there's a name for it, and she's on top of a fountain, and that's why...
The Lady of Water.
Yeah, the doctor's seeing wet footprints in the sand. They determine that's where Thomas is hanging out, waiting for Leo, because that's where they're supposed to meet.
Because he loves the show Angels in America, and that
right.
features prominently.
So they go find him, and they're like... And I didn't even think of this until they said it on the show, but like this government agent wants him
yeah.
because he's essentially the perfect guinea pig, because he doesn't exist.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came here illegally. He was never on the manifest, so
yeah.
he's a ghost.
Yeah.
He's got no ID or nothing.
So, you know, they bring him to this abandoned warehouse, boiler place, whatever, and so because he's been so pumped up on drugs, he's going to crash.
Yep.
And he needs a place where he can crash, and then they'll figure out from there. So that's the major story mm-hmm. of the whole episode. One of the B stories is basically involving Ben and his wife, and...
She has to pay back the life insurance.
She gets a recall on the life insurance, the $500,000 that she got. And, of course, she doesn't have any of it now because it's been 5 years. And she's paid off this and this and all of his medical bills. And then she established a business and yada, yada, yada. But, you know, after a few hours of doing math, Ben just figures out, you know what? Fuck him. We'll pay him back what we can when we can because there's no flight 828 clause in this.
And most people don't realize that anyway. Like
yeah.
a lot of credit card companies or doctor's offices and stuff, you can pay them back as you want.
Yeah.
And they can yell and scream all they want, but they can't force you
right.
to pay them.
Right. They can't garnish your wages.
Right.
They can take you to court and sue you civilly, which then the judge will say, as long as you pay $5 a month, you're yeah. all set.
And even that's hardly enforceable because right. it's not like they can say, he's still paying. The cops aren't going to show up at your door. They'll go, take him back to civil court.
They're not going
to
issue a warrant for that. It's right. civil.
Yeah.
Civil.
That's right. We're teaching everybody, don't pay your bills. You
yeah.
don't have to.
So, but it's just, it seems like she's like, oh, and then she acts like she's all turned on by his math.
Oh, it's sexy math.
Yeah, sexy math, yeah. Which is dumb. So anyways, Olive shoplifts because, you know, she wants an eyeliner.
She wants some control in her life.
Which, okay, so we have given her full credit for being, like, the level-headed one
yeah.
for the first three episodes. And now in episode four, she's going to pull a 15-year-old goof up and steal an eyeliner from this expensive makeup set.
Take Sephora.
And gets caught. And then calls mom and leaves a voicemail. And Danny's like, I'll go.
Ben is like, I'll go.
Sorry, Ben is like, I'll go. And he shows up and there's Danny. Who's Danny, you ask? Well, it's not Iron Fist, but then again, I guess he's out of work.
Mm. You've been waiting for that one, haven't you?
Kind of. But anyways, there's Danny, the guy that he's never had. Okay, when we're watching the opening and they do the foreshadowing, well, like,
yeah.
you'll never have to meet him. Like, he's going to meet him this episode.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he did. And because Olive called him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Olive explains it later very well, though.
Yeah.
You know, like. You look at me, this perfect little 10-year-old little girl, and Danny knows me as like the screwed up teenager I am, and he's yep. used to it. And I, you know, so that's why I called him and not you, because I didn't want you to see me that way.
So she says, "Don't tell mom, just let it be between us." And he goes, "Okay." And then we're like, "Oh, mom's going to find out from Danny."
Of course he is, and of course we see he finds the box of photos in the garage. of them together.
Yeah.
And then,
but to his credit, he didn't pitch a hissy fit or anything. He put him back.
Well, like, let's look at this. I know we've talked about this. It literally was a blink of an eye for him. Mm-hmm. You know, it was turbulence he experienced.
Yeah.
That was it. He wasn't gone 5.5 years.
Right.
He still loves his wife.
It'd be like if we got done recording this podcast and walked out of the room and suddenly everybody had aged like 10 years.
Right. It's the same scenario. You know, like, his wife moved on with her life. She got into a relationship with this other guy that she clearly fell in love with. That, you know, Olive means a lot to Olive, and she knows, at least, or whatever. Mm-hmm. He seems like, all intents and purposes, a nice guy.
Yeah.
And Ben, I guess, has been like as reasonable as he could, because he's like, well, you know, it's, even though my wife and I, we saw each other yesterday, today, now she's slept with another guy and all, right, and all, but I guess I gotta, you know, it's like he has been handling this well, but almost unrealistically well. And then finally in this episode, he has a mini blow up,
right?
Like a microburst of like, oh, for a guy that you broke up with and you're not seeing anymore, you sure as hell can't seem to get out of you and all his life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for them, he just showed up and disrupted everything.
Right.
You know?
But then he's like, and you know what? I shouldn't ask you to cut him out of your life.
Right.
I'm going to go get some air.
Yeah. And he leaves.
Yep.
Again, back to being unrealistically reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Because, let's face it, you know, and then on the other side of the spectrum, okay, his wife, instead of just being upfront and honest, like, hey, yeah, I got a boyfriend. I've been in a relationship with somebody else. Okay, we don't live together, maybe, because he's not in the house, but, you know, I've been with somebody else. But no, she's like, they're kissing, and she's making lovey, like, you know, like acting like nothing's changed. And I don't know. I just, I'm having a hard time with that, because to me, she's being so fake.
Right.
Like, fake and just like, I don't know. Like, she should have just been like, okay, I'm glad you're back, but I'm in a relationship with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I know it hasn't been anything for you. It's been 5.5 years for me.
Right.
And then we didn't even get to see the son in this episode because he's off fishing with Grandpa.
It was a nice way to write him out of the episode. He begged to stay up there for one more day at the lake. All right, so it won't be a him episode. He had to go to school or something.
Yeah. But I still like the show.
Yep.
I still enjoy it a lot. And, yeah.
I got 3 other shows.
Okay, I have 2.
Hmm.
What's one of yours?
I watched the series premiere of Charmed.
Oh, how was that?
It was interesting. It really felt kind of rushed. It felt like they wanted to squeeze in as much stuff as they could in the beginning for people who were fans of the original series, who might be sitting there going, come on, hurry it up. They waste no time. Like, in the first episode, mom dies mysteriously. Girls get united because, you know, one of them, the oldest one, didn't know she was a sister until now. She suddenly just gets this calling.
Yeah.
And then the other, all 3 of them get their powers. They haven't fully figured out how to use them yet, but they're introduced to their white lighter, whose name is Harry. He's much more brash and arrogant, because mm-hmm. He's also British. White lighters no longer disappear into white, you know, they kind of get twisted and sucked in like a vortex.
Okay. It's
kind of weird. But it wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It definitely leveraged a lot of the feminist that they were going for. You know, they said they wanted to make a feminist show. So, like, you know, the middle sister there, she's very big on, she goes over to the frat house and she's like, hey, some girl's making out with a guy on the couch. She's like, at any time you can take your consent back. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. Oh my God, that makes me not want to watch it.
And then later on in the episode, when the demon boyfriend is attacking the youngest sister, she goes, at any time I could take my consent back, and kicks him off. And, because she, they have the same powers. The oldest sister has telekinesis, mm-hmm. like Prue did. These are all M's too. It's like Macy, Mal, and so the middle child can stop time. She was dating a detective until mom died, and then the detective distanced herself. Yes, that's right. The middle child is a lesbian.
I was going to ask if any of them were lesbians.
Yep. And then the youngest one is rushing a sorority, and
so the middle one is a lesbian but wants to tell men to not be.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yep. So the youngest one instead of being an empath like Phoebe was,
yeah,
she can actually, like, when she touches somebody, she can hear their thoughts, so she can read minds. Mm-hmm. The oldest one, they've got an interesting twist to her, though, because she's a scientist. Not necessarily, like, wearing a lab coat, but she wants to explain everything. So, like, they're doing magic, and she's like, no, there has to be a scientific explanation. Like, they discover that, you know, blood is left behind by one of these demons. And they're looking at it, and they're like, oh. She's like, this looks like it's got a base of hydrochloric acid. And they're like, oh, well, we have to, you know, Harry's like, we have to come up with a potion, and we have to do this and figure out a spell to cast. She goes, no, I got baking soda right here. And yeah, that works on hydrochloric acid. It neutralizes it. So she's much more grounded. It was, again, I enjoyed it for what it was. I'm going to give it a few more episodes to see what they do. You know, how heavy do they pile it on? Do they really try to recreate the first one? You know, the first show? I will say that at the end of it, they found a Ouija board and communicated with their mom. And the thing that she spelled out was, don't trust Harry. So who knows what's going on there. But, yeah, I'll give it more.
Okay. I'm not sure if I want to watch it or not.
Yep. Fair enough.
I really enjoyed the original series when it was on the first few seasons. And then I think I've talked about it with you at least in the past. And I just didn't care about it.
Right.
Based on your description right there, I don't really have any interest in.
I will also say this for it. The magic is much more of an incantation. You know, when they're casting a spell, it's like a Klaatu Barada Nikto. It's not reciting a poem about, you know, spirit from the other side, run away and don't make me hide. It's nothing like that. It's actually them, like, chanting like you would expect a spell to be, you know. And the power of three wasn't them holding hands and going, the power of three will set us free. The power of three will set us free. It was the three of them joining hands and chanting the spell and watching the power course through all of them. So in that respect, they're doing witchcraft a lot better.
Okay.
I like that aspect of the witchcraft. But again, we'll see how it goes.
I think I know one of the shows you watched.
Yep.
The Doctor Who.
Yes.
And what was the other show you watched?
I watched the first 5 episodes of The Haunting of Hill House.
I watched all 10.
Mm.
I got sucked in big time.
Yeah.
I watched the last 5. Literally last night after everyone went to bed, I sat down and watched the final.
See, I haven't had an opportunity to. I watched them this weekend, but I had been so swamped with everything else. But I did read something online that said, basically, Hill House saves its best stuff for the second half of the season. They're like, stick it out through the first 5 or 6 episodes, and you'll be pleasantly and surprised.
I enjoyed every episode.
I've enjoyed them as well.
I had no problem the first 5 episodes, so I don't get that stick around thing because I thought the first 5 episodes were fantastic.
Some of them were slow. I mean, there was some slow stuff in there because essentially you're getting the same stories over and over again, just a little bit more.
See, I didn't find any of it to be so slow that it was a turnoff, though.
No. It was never a turnoff.
No, I didn't even really find any of them to be slow.
I found
them to be, like, I got so, I guess, caught up and absorbed in the show itself that I didn't even notice, like, oh, well, you know, when 51 minutes of a show feels like a long time when you're watching it. And I don't know. I just didn't even notice it.
Hmm.
Like, I'm not saying they zipped by.
Right.
They were good. I think the writers of this show, which I know Mike Flanagan, who's directed every episode and is the creator and wrote most of them, or had a lot to do with it.
Based on a book.
Yeah, it's based on a book. But this has got to be the some of the best character development of a show I've ever seen.
As they went on, yes. Because the first couple episodes, like, I hated most of the kids.
Yeah.
It was annoying. And it was kind of jarring the way that they would go back and forth between the present and the past without much transition.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be watching a scene, and then all of a sudden, it was in the past, and you're like...
Well, sometimes a door opens, and you're in the past.
Yeah.
But it's very clear you're in the past.
Some of them are. Some of them, not so much. Some of them, it was just like, well, I guess it was clear, but it was kind of jarring, because you're right in the middle of watching something else. Then they're like, oh, now let's go to the past.
I thought it was... See, I literally have no complaints about any
of this. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, sincerely, like, my biggest complaint was the way episode 10 started. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck is this? They better not be doing this. And then once I got 10, 15 minutes in, I was like, okay. I'm good with this now.
Thanks.
Otherwise, like, because I was initially like, oh, come on. Like, I have enjoyed this show so much, and this is how, like, this is what they're doing. This is the direction they're going. Like, I was pissed.
Yep.
To be honest. But, once you got, like, 10, 15 minutes in, I thought it was fantastic.
The stories, I guess where they're saying stick it out is because sometimes you would get parts of the stories that seem to just, they begin and end and you don't care. Or they're like, they're very...
Everything gets explained.
That's exactly it. It's like you'll get a vanilla story. You'll get a chunk of the vanilla story. But then the next episode, you're going to get the first part of that.
Yes.
The 10 minutes you didn't see before. Yes. And you're like, oh, that's what led into that.
And honestly, for me, I think every episode ends on a great cliffhanger.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Or like a spontaneous moment or whatever it is.
Yep.
And then you watch the series and like this is something that you could have watched weekly and just...
I almost wish I had.
Like, if this was a weekly television show,
yep,
this would be the first time in a long time where, man, I can't wait for next week to see what happens next. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I almost wish I was watching this weekly so I could have enjoyed it longer.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, I just sat down and just banged it all out because it was so freaking good. Like,
I'm really looking forward to
it. It is really one of the best ghost stories I have ever seen.
Nice.
Like... hold on, I gotta see something.
Okay,
so you watched episode 5, The Bent Neck Lady?
Yes.
Okay.
So
if you don't want to hear spoilers, you should stop listening because we're gonna talk about it because I have to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, all right, so.
Yeah.
Dude, that
opened it up, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to see the rest of
this. Oh my God, yeah. So, like, all right. You have your cast of characters. You have the family of 7. You have mom and dad and 5 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you have 2 boys and 3 girls. And the youngest two, Louis. The bottom two, Luke and Nell, are twins.
And you know why they're the youngest? Because once you have twins, you never go again.
Oh, fuck no.
You're like, no, I'm done.
Right. In the trailer, if you've seen the trailer, they're the two that are like the boy and the little boy and girl that are sitting in the bed. And like they're talking to their mom and you know, she's talking about like, I have to, you know, my heart is broken so badly that I just, the only way to cure this, I have to die. And then I'm on a cold metal table. And then the little boy's talking about blood in his veins and this
poison,
and
in, his veins.
Poison in his veins and this and that and everything. And then, you know, he dies and throws up on the floor and blah, blah, blah. Would you wake us up from that dream like that? Oh, so that's the twins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you have Theo. Or Fedora, she's, I don't know what line she is. Maybe she's the third in line or the middle kid. But she seems to have some sort of powers where if she touches you or you touch her, she can kind of absorb what you're feeling or seeing or doing,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of neat. They don't really expand on it a ton, but you definitely see it in action. You see it in action a few times.
Yeah.
And then you have Shirley. And she's the eldest daughter, and adult Shirley works in a mortuary with her husband. She has 2 kids of her own. They don't really play a part in this.
Not really. Not that
I've
seen, at least.
You barely see them through the whole series, you know? You see your husband, Kevin, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's a cool guy. And then you have Hugh, who's the oldest. No, sorry, Hugh's the dad, sorry. Then you have Stephen, who's the oldest. And essentially, everyone hates him because he wrote a book.
Didn't ask their permission.
He wrote a book about his family and their experience in Hill House. It became a tremendous bestseller, and he made tons of money off it. And he ended up writing a series of books. And, yeah, he is a skeptic. Like, he doesn't believe that there was ghosts. He doesn't think he, you know, like, you see in the first episode where he's doing some investigative work for a new book. And he's talking to a woman about how she saw her dead husband floating above her and this and that. And so he wants to sleep in that room. But then he reveals to her, like, I've never actually seen a ghost or experienced anything. This is just, I'm writing other people's stories and I'm good at it. I wrote my family stories from the things they told me. But basically, he's full in belief that his family suffers from mental health disorders, and that his mother did, and his sister did, and that everyone else did, and it runs in our family, and this and that, and you know, we have,
that's why his brother's an addict.
We have bad genes, and this is why we, you know, we're all have these issues with us, and that's why Shirley's an ice princess, and Fedor doesn't want to be touched. Luke's an addict, and Neil's vying for everyone's constant attention all the time, and she's also crazy, and mom was crazy, and
mom killed herself.
Yeah, on and on and on, and so like, and then we have Hugh's the dad, and Olivia's the mom, and yeah. So the first episode, because I don't know if we're gonna break down every single episode, but the first episode,
you can only go five in, so
right, but. Which the first episode actually takes place in October 2018. Mm-hmm. And then when we go to flashback, we're going to like 92, 93 time frame. Like when they were kids, it's in 1992 or 93. Which to me is hilarious because when I think of like kids, I always relate it to myself. So I'm thinking like 80s. You know what I mean? Anyway, so 92, 93 time frame. And we're getting... I guess I don't want to break it down into huge detail because there's so much to go over.
But the whole reason that you wanted this was because of the crooked-necked woman.
Yeah. So, the little girl.
Nell.
Oh, maybe I don't want to spoil it for people. I don't know. But Nell. Essentially, her ghost that
haunts. It is a really good twist.
Dude, it's fucking amazing.
I mean, do you really want to? It's only been out a week.
Yeah, let's wait.
Actually, it hasn't even. It came out on Friday.
It came out Friday. Came out a few days ago. All right, let's not. So we're not going to spoil it. You should make a note in the show notes.
Yeah.
We say we're going to spoil it, but we're not going to spoil it.
Yeah.
But I am going to say this. The first episode, you know, let's wait a week.
Yeah.
We'll just wait a week. I'm just going to say I loved it.
And I can't wait to see the next five.
Yeah, I mean, the story development is awesome in this. The characters are awesome in this. The ghost stuff is pretty damn cool. Yeah, it's really good. And I like how they transition from the past to the future.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Like, not only do they transition, like, the storylines are, like, they're running kind of, like, where we have the future is October 2018, where all this stuff is happening. And then we have the past, where all this stuff is happening. But they also jump around a little bit, like, like, we'll see, like, say, in episode 6 a month ago.
Right, right.
And then we'll go to, like, 1992, and it'll show, like, 6 months before they moved in the house or whatever it is. Right. And they, but it makes sense. They make it make sense. And, yes, they ask a lot of questions in the beginning. And then by the end, they've answered them all.
Yep. Well, that's good.
And I doubt they could ever do a sequel to this.
It didn't seem to be Lenny's.
Because I just...
Maybe a chapter two that deals with a different family.
There's no way they can do a sequel to this, unless it's Stephen going around and we see his adventures in writing a new book or something, and he goes to this haunted house and his experiences there. Which even then,
that sounds boring,
right? I really don't think they could do another series on this. If they did, I would be surprised. I would be very surprised. If they did.
But if it's popular, then they might try to find a way.
You know, and that's the thing I always think about. When you have, like, a good blockbuster horror movie, then they make a direct-to-video sequel. Oh, it's always the shits.
Look what they did with American Horror Story. You know, if they did something like that. Different family, different house, different haunting.
Right, but this is called The Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
I guess the only way they could really do a quote-unquote sequel is if we went back in time and we saw the Hills that owned the house. Mm. What happened with them? Their story of owning the house, leading up to what's their last name? The Cranes buying the house. Because mom and dad basically bought the house to flip it, and their plan was to live there for 8 weeks through the summer while they did some work on this house and then flip it, and then buy another house, move to another house. That's what they've done. That's what the kids are used to.
Right.
Didn't work out well.
No.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways. Doctor Who?
Doctor Who.
Before we talk about Doctor Who, I touched on it earlier, forgot to mention it. Netflix canceled Iron Fist.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty pissed about that.
Absolutely. I am too, because season two was really, 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 really
good. And I really wanted to see what was going to happen next season.
Yeah.
With her being the Iron Fist and what was going on with Danny having two Iron Fists. And
maybe the new Disney streaming app will pick it up.
Maybe.
Because Netflix usually is the people that pick shit up.
Right.
Maybe they'll change their mind.
Maybe this is the first of many that they're going to, like, let go so that Disney can pick them up because they own the rights.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather see them give up Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
Mm.
Iron Fist Season 2 was so good. And it wasn't even just for Danny and Iron Fist. I mean, the sub-characters were so good.
Colleen was awesome.
Colleen was awesome.
Misty was great.
Misty was great, yeah.
The brother and sister, yeah.
Well, we're getting Daredevil this Friday, the 19th.
It's going to be rough. Because I got to watch that, and I got to finish watching Hill House, plus every other show that's on.
Well, Hill House was so good, I'm glad I got it done.
Don't forget, Halloween comes out this weekend.
I know, I'm already trying to figure out how the hell I'm going to go see it.
Did you say you were going to the drive-in?
Well, the drive-in's only open on Friday and Saturday, and I have a double on Friday.
Mm.
And Saturday, Kate and I already have some other plans before work.
Oh. You rolled your eyes.
Double on Saturday, Friday.
Oh, okay.
My plans with Kay's are going to the roller derby. That's awesome.
Nice.
So I'm not upset about that at all. So I, unfortunately, if I'm going to go see it, it's either going to be late Sunday after all the kids have gone to bed and everyone's gone to bed. So like the 10 o'clock one.
Ooh, woof.
Yeah. Because my only other time I can probably go see it would be like 10 o'clock Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, because I don't even think I might be able to go see a 1 o'clock Monday.
Mm.
I doubt it. So I'm thinking Sunday at 10 after everyone goes to bed, I'm going to head up and go watch it. Because I don't want to wait around on that. I'm only off Sunday, Monday. I mean, I'm off Sunday, Monday. I don't know what my doubles are next week. It's probably every fucking day, though. And then I have the weekend off. I got the kids the weekend again. So it's probably what I'm doing.
Guess we shall see.
Yeah, guess we will. So, Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
We forgot to talk about this last week.
We forgot somehow. We really screwed up.
Like the whatever it was, Wednesday, I texted you, or to Thursday or something, and I'm just like, we freaking forgot to talk about Doctor Who?
But see, what it was on our way down to Portland to see Mystery Science Theater 3000 live,
yeah.
You, me, and Jew were on the car. We'd all seen it, so we talked briefly about it.
Yes.
So, we kind of, like I said, I remember talking to you about this part, and you're like, no, we talked about it in the car on the way down. That's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how we did that. But that's blasphemous.
Okay.
Because Doctor Who is back.
Doctor Who is back. Okay, so we actually didn't get the opening credits in episode one. At least I didn't on the BBC America app. I just went right into the episode.
No, I think that we got the episode, but then we got the credits into it a little ways because people were talking about how much they like the new theme.
I don't remember. I remember seeing it online after, and I remember seeing it for the episode two.
The new theme sounds a lot like the old school theme.
Yes. Well, the dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't change, and the like
but it's definitely, it's not the rock.
Yes.
Electric version that Tennant had, or then, you know, like the flutey wooty one that Smith had. You know, this is like the
old school.
Thunder rolling.
Someone made a YouTube video years ago, a few years ago now, that had like all the way up to the 11th Doctor, basically, or 12th Doctor, I mean, it doesn't matter. Not David Tennant, Matt Smith. Who did it after? Peter Capaldi.
Yeah.
Had every theme up to his, prior to his, I mean. And they all pretty much sound similar, which is good because going back to the 60s when it started, but man, I like the theme. I like it a lot. I like everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
I have no. I sit there and I'm so excited. Doctor Who's back, and Jodie Whittaker is fucking awesome.
So the first episode was called "The Woman Who Fell to Earth," and it really it jumped right in.
Yeah.
It brought us the new companions plus one.
Yes, we get Ryan. He apparently can't ride a bike.
Because he has a disorder that affects his coordination.
Dyspraxia, it says here. Yeah.
So he has a hard time, like, climbing ladders, riding bikes. Basically keeping his balance and coordinating, like, left and right at the same time.
Kind of sad.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have Ryan, who's trying to learn how to ride a bike.
From his gran and her husband, who he refuses to call his grandfather.
Yeah.
They were married 3 years ago.
Yep, been married 3 years, and for whatever reason, he does live with his parents. He lives with his grandmother.
Yep.
And
Mickey lived with his grandmother.
Who?
Mickey.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey the idiot.
Yep, that's true. Anyways, her husband, Graham, And, yeah, so Ryan, his grandmother Grace, her husband Graham, they're on it, and was it Yasmin?
Yes.
Yep. Yes, okay. They're on a train, and some sort of light orb thing comes down and stops the train, kills the conductor.
Yep.
Everyone runs, except Grace and Graham.
Right.
And the other guy that's on the plane, train there, Carl.
Yes.
And they're kind of stuck there. But Ryan wasn't on the train because he got pissed off and threw his bike over a cliff. And his grandparents were like, go get the bike.
Right.
And they did. And he did. And they left him there.
But he found a blue pod. He
found some weird blue. No. It looks like a sorry piece.
He didn't find it there, remember? Because
oh, yes. Like, a light kind of came down.
It was like lightning in the air in the shape of like a couple of squares inside of each other.
And he touched it.
Yep. Because he's an idiot.
Yes.
And when he did, shortly thereafter, this blue sorry piece appeared.
Yes. It does look like a blue sorry piece, doesn't it?
Yeah. Or like I was thinking also a slime from the Dragon Warrior games.
Okay. Sure.
But he calls the police, which at that time is yes.
And she basically has kind of been relegated to doing parking detail, and she really wants an exciting case. And so this guy's like, go find this mysterious object. So she gets dumped this in her lap, and they just treat it like it's a joke. But her and Ryan went to school together, so they're familiar with each other and they know each other.
Yep. Then, so we're like 10 minutes in now.
No doctor.
No doctor.
Yeah. And now this
show's called Doctor Who.
Yeah, I know. Get the kids to the mall. And now the orb is coming into the train, and the doctor falls through the roof and manages to stop it.
Yep.
And then now Yaz and Ryan are on the train. And they all got zapped with this device thing from the orb that implanted something in them.
Yes. They all have, right in their collarbone, they have little blinky lights.
And we'll go ahead.
Oh, you're talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, we were just talking. I was like...
All right. So,
basically this light thing and the doctor, there's always some kind of complication with the doctor when he or she regenerates.
Yes.
There's always something like with David Tennant, he collapsed and he was out for most of the episode. Like he was just exhausted. With Smith, he got lost, remember?
Yes.
You know, he couldn't get back in time and he was kind of discombobulated. Capaldi was grumpy.
Yep.
Super grumpy, didn't know what
all he was season.
Doing. Yeah, and I was about to say Capaldi again.
Oh, with Jody.
With Jody, she has forgotten who she is.
Yes, but she knows I'm something special.
Yes.
And she keeps getting flashes of what's going on.
Yep.
But at the same time, she knows...
She knows something. She knows a lot of things.
Her muscle memory and instinct is that she's the doctor, and that but she doesn't know who she is.
Right.
And that she's got to try and figure out what's going wrong. Oh, and I forget she's got to help people.
Yep.
Yeah,
she knows that she's going to help people. She knows that she's a protector. But as far as who she is, it's on the tip of her... And she can't even remember what the word is for...
Tongue, yeah. But she knows she's an alien.
Yes. Yes, she definitely knows that.
Oh, you're sure aliens don't exist? I believe they do. I'm an alien, after all.
Yep.
You are? Oh, I am. I am, you know.
She's got a great energy to her.
Oh, my God. Okay, yes. The energy that she has, her character has as the Doctor, is tremendous. And she's wearing Peter Capaldi's outfit for more than half the episode.
Yes, it's all ripped and burned.
And it's too big on her.
Yep, way too big.
And then she doesn't even...
empty pockets.
Yes, oh, she hates empty pockets. Oh, and that's the other thing. She doesn't know she's a girl.
Right.
Like, was it someone said ma'am or miss or whatever, and he's like, what? Am I a girl?
Yeah. Oh, she was thrilled when she found that out, too.
Yes.
But yeah, she hates empty pockets, so she has no sonic, no anything to help her with this. But she's determined that she's going to figure out what's going on with this alien, what's going on with these people, what needs to be done. And essentially, she takes these people... Like, they're very accepting of her.
Well, she...
Especially with Grace around.
Okay, that's the thing. Grace is kind of leading the rest of them.
Yeah.
And Grace is just like, this woman is a leader.
Yeah.
She knows what she's talking
about. She saved us.
She saved our lives. She is determined, you know... And she's, so Grace is like, we're going to follow her.
And then she passes out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they bring her, and then they see the weird light come off her.
Yes.
And it floats away.
Yeah, the extra regeneration energy coming out of her mouth.
I thought it was going to, like, somehow link her to the TARDIS somehow, but it didn't happen. Yeah. Nothing really came of it.
By the way, first episode, zero TARDIS.
No TARDIS, yeah.
We don't even get to see her falling out of it. You had to watch the regeneration of Capaldi to see her fall out.
Yes, because she essentially lands through the roof of the train.
Yep.
And that's where she picks up.
And, of course, she can do that because, as they've established before, during a regeneration, a Time Lord is basically invincible.
Yes.
They heal super quick, and they're much more powerful than they normally are. So they've got all that extra regeneration energy.
So anyways, the group there, the doctor, track the pod down to the warehouse where they encounter a humanoid alien. The doctor, what?
His name just gets me.
Tim Shaw. Yeah.
And I know that it's probably like T-I-M apostrophe.
T-Z-I-M hyphen S-H-A. Tim Shaw.
Yeah. But she just keeps calling him Tim Shaw.
But his race is what?
Throwaway?
No. Stenza.
Oh, that's right, because they mentioned him in the second episode.
Yes, yes. They mentioned him in the second episode. So I thought it was going to be a throwaway as well until the second episode.
Yeah.
So, but he's basically, he's a hunter.
Yeah, and there's a rite of passage that the Stenza go through.
And they send him down to Earth, and he has to track down this one particular human.
Without any help, no technology,
which
he's cheating.
And he's cheating because the orb that tagged them all... tag the human that he's supposed to find so he can bring the human back. And the human comes back alive and gets basically put in a zoo and starved to death, essentially.
Yeah, the orb
or
is...
some sort of stasis and dies forever.
It's a mass of almost like living snake things that are all digital, organic beings that collect and sort data. And then they upload it to Tim Shaw. So he's cheating like a motherfucker.
Oh, massively, yes.
And she calls him on it, too.
Yes, she does.
And it's an odd alien species because when he takes his mask off, he has human teeth all over his skin.
Oh, but those are his souvenirs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's not just from the ones that he's hunted. Like, he killed somebody down here on Earth on his way to his target and took one of the teeth.
Yeah, he's killed a couple people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he takes their teeth and
pushes it into his face. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have to assume it's most of his body.
Fucking gross.
Yeah. Tim Shaw. So basically the lights that were implanted in their collarbones are all bombs.
DNA bombs.
Yes.
Yes. That he can control.
Triggered just by their own personal DNA.
Yep.
Oh. One thing that I liked was when Grace went to check on the doctor when she was laying there unconscious, she was like, she has two different pulses. They always talk about the two heart rates.
Yeah.
But the fact that she has two different pulses was
two distinct pulses.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I wonder if that's like one per wrist. Because, I mean, she had both of her wrists. But
yeah.
I'm wondering if like one half of the body has one heartbeat, the other half has the other heartbeat. It's weird.
So, Carl, they track him down.
Carl basically, like, everybody else was like, oh, this is great. It's an alien. Oh, we got attacked. And he's like, I just want to go to work. I'm going to forget that any of this ever happened. See ya.
But they find Carl and they track him down. Tim Shaw captures him.
Because he gave his info to the police lady.
Exactly.
Yes.
Tim Shaw captures him.
Mm-hmm.
However, the doctor demands that he release Kim Tim Shaw because, because he's been cheating and she'll reveal that he's been cheating because she has evidence. Oh, she also used his spaceship and pod and spare parts and built a new sonic screwdriver, which I love and I'm so glad it's back.
The body of it is basically melted flatware.
Yes.
And then she's got a couple of crystals and it's bent.
Yeah, it's got a nice little curve in the handle.
Uh-huh. So
it's awesome.
It is awesome. And she didn't immediately like get another one. Like this is what she's got.
Yes.
And it's working pretty well.
Yep. Yeah. She used it a lot in episode 2.
Yes,
she was doing what she wants it to do.
Yep.
Anyways, so also the doctor actually managed to transfer the DNA bombs out of everybody.
Back to him.
And got him back into Tim Shaw. And he essentially detonates the bombs as a big, like, well, screw you. I'll do what I want. And the doctor's like, no, you had a chance to leave and you chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
So you just did it to yourself. And he dies horribly, basically.
But he gets warped back out as he's dying. So we don't know if he fully died.
Well, that was the other thing, too, is, like, your option is to warp back out and, you know, they can probably help you.
Yeah.
Or so save you and die.
There could be something bigger coming.
I forgot he warped back out.
Yeah.
However, while Grace climbed up this crane.
Which almost seemed unnecessary, what she did.
Well, yeah, it did. But it's the way they killed her.
Yeah.
She destroys these coils that prevent him from being able to transport back, you know, the both of them and this and then. And she falls off the crane and she dies.
Mm-hmm.
And some time's passed while they're down there because she's had the funeral and everything else. And the doctor comes back to them and she's like, I got to find my TARDIS. Can you please help me?
Yep.
And they do. And so the three of them are there with the doctor.
But they first have to do a clothing shop.
Oh, yes, that's right. She has to get her new outfit, which I approve.
I do as well. Yep.
Which I thought was funny how, like, how much clothes she tried on.
Yes.
And then she zaps them. So she's going to say goodbye to them, and they zap her away because this transporter that Tim Shaw left behind. She
basically says it's locked onto where the TARDIS ended up.
Yep.
So I'm going to warp there. See you guys later. Thanks for the fun.
And they all four of them zap there together, and the episode ends with them kind of floating in space.
Yeah.
And I like how the doctor's kind of like, oh, crap. And then you see Ryan in the background, like, grabbing his throat. And the other two are like, this is cool.
Yeah.
And then episode two.
Picks right
the Ghost
up.
Monument. And essentially, they both get rescued by these different spaceships with these aliens that are on it that are competing in an intergalactic competition race across the stars.
Yep. The ladies get picked up by the male operator and the guys get picked up by the female operator.
Yep. And they're all in these stasis pods together, these healing pods, sick bay pods, or whatever it is. Because what I really liked is later on, when Graham's like, if these guys are aliens, how come I can understand them? And she's like, oh, let me look. Oh, yeah, when you're in the med pod, they checked for this, you know, implanting you so that way you could understand
all universal these, translator.
Universal translator. And they implanted them all with a universal translator. And I like when Graham's like, I wish people would stop planting things in my body without asking me.
Yeah. And then she makes the point, as we were all wondering, yes. She's like, if we had my TARDIS, you wouldn't need them.
Exactly. I don't know, dude. Like, it's just, I legitimately, like, I'm so excited Doctor Who's back.
I
really love the show so much. And I have I had zero qualms with the new Doctor being a woman.
Absolutely.
I have zero qualms with the new Doctor being anybody based on looks alone, let's just say.
Right.
My real, you know, test is, like, how are they actually as the Doctor on the show? Jodie Whittaker is absolutely tremendous.
She's funny.
Yes.
But she's also like, she's almost like an innocent child sometimes.
Yes.
Like, she's still trying to figure out what she's doing. She knows she's the Doctor because she cuts that big speech to Tim Shaw. You know, she's like, oh, I remember who I am.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes. So I'm she remembers.
Doctor. Yes.
But she's still almost like trying to get used to it. And she references it, you know, she'll be like, oh, I wish I had my sunglasses. Well, they weren't really mine. You know, I borrowed them a while ago, either from, who did she say?
Audrey Hepburn or
Pythagoras.
Yeah.
And they're like, Pythagoras didn't wear sunglasses. And she's like, well, you never saw him with a hangover, did you?
But it's just, I don't know. And, you know, so they land on the planet, they meet back up together. Oh, I thought you were dead. We're not, blah, blah, blah. Because they're two different ships.
Turns out this is a galactic race.
Yes. And they go to the tent where the leader is, the guy that puts this whole race on together. And he's essentially like, all right, you're on this planet. You can't drink the water. You can't travel after sundown.
Don't touch the water.
Yeah, don't even touch the water. You can't travel after sundown. Once you get to the finish line, one of you is going to get like 3.4 trillion whatever.
And they go through like the different monies that it is.
And the doctor's like, nope, nope, nope. I don't know what any of these are. You know what I mean? Like, nope. I guess I got to, you know, update my currency converter. But the other person is going to be dead.
And 4,000 started this race. We're down to two.
Yes. And they both have the reasons why they're doing the race. The woman, she's doing it for her family to help them because the Stenza destroyed her planet.
Yes.
And then the guy's doing it because he wants to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's basically just in it for the glory.
Yeah, and his mother taught him the valuable lesson of not trusting anybody because she had him climb way up when he was 4 years old. She had him climb way up as high as he could in this tree, and then she said, "Jump, I'll catch you. Trust me, I'm your mother." And he jumped, and she moved. And he broke his arm and shattered his ankle. And she said to him, "Now you've learned never trust anybody."
That's right. And he's like, "It's the best thing she ever did for me."
Yeah.
No, that's child abuse.
Yeah, yeah. So Ryan still has some of his little bit of, you know, neuroticism going on.
Because he says at one point, he's like, Why does it always have to be ladders?
Yeah. Yasmin, Yaz, and Graham. Graham is, they're all very accepting of what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and was it at one point like, oh, we must be on an alien planet. And she's like, well, the three suns would really tip that off to you. Like, they're really kind of going with the flow of what's going on. They're being very accepting. And I don't know if it's, I don't mind it, I guess. But if you were someone's going to pick this apart and be like, why aren't they more confused? Why are they so accepting of this?
Well, at first, like right now, they have no choice.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't say we want to go with you. Her device teleported them accidentally. Yeah. So they're all stuck there. Then they're taken by these ships down to this planet surface. No. They don't know how they're going to get off here. So they're kind of stuck doing it. And, I mean, natural curiosity anyway.
Right.
So,
but maybe we're on the planet they're from. They're used to these things somehow. Yeah. Not used to them, but, like, I don't know. It just seems like they're all very accepting of what's going on.
Well, remember, the Doctor has made national headlines on Earth.
Yes.
You know, for saving the planet during different Christmas
catastrophes. Correct. Christmas. I like how it's Christmas catastrophes.
Yes.
So, and then when they get to the boat, Graham's like, well, let's see if we can fix this.
Right.
Well, just because you can fix an engine. An engine's an engine. Comes up. Yeah, okay, an engine's not an engine. Yeah. I don't even know what this is.
And then Ryan's like, it's a space engine.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, it looks more like a battery. No, it's solar power, this and that. They're talking, oh, you guys are doing great working together and way to figure this things out. Look at you two. Da, da, da. And then when she meets, you know, the head of the race, you know, it's in this tent, but it's clearly a hologram. And she's just like, these are my new three best mates.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And then she's like, oh, you're a hologram. Oh, I can tell you're a hologram. Are you just a projection or are you actually built on AI? She's like, oh, I really hope you're built on AI. But does that mean that you're beloved? I was a hologram once. And I'm like, were you a hologram?
Yeah, I was a hologram. Oh, well, look at the detail of those nose hairs. You know, like, just everything like that. Like, she definitely is on, I don't know. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a good story. So they go across this planet. The water is full of the, basically what we learn is, was it the Stenza?
Destroyed the planet.
Destroyed the planet. But they kidnap these doctors. They force them to make all these weapons. And the doctors basically,
and not just, like, guns and stuff, but they were saying poisons and ways to destroy planets.
Yes. They wanted to develop new weaponry.
New ways to kill and destroy.
And the doctors, and these scientists basically booby-trapped and destroyed their own stuff by booby-trapping the planet. And that's why the water's no good. And that's why the planet's been thrown out of its orbit. Which also is the reason why when the doctor locked onto the TARDIS and then zapped there, the planet had moved, which is why she ended up in space and not on the planet.
Yep. And the race is supposed to end at the Ghost Monument, which is something that appears once every 1,000 cycles, which we don't know if a cycle's a day or a year or what have you. But she's like, let me see what it looks like. And it looks
it's
like
the TARDIS. Yes. There's this one point where the doctor basically seems like she's given up, and the three of them basically give her a pep talk, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then later on, well, we thought you'd given up. Oh, no, I didn't. Maybe it looked like it, but I didn't. and they get the TARDIS in the end. And the best part is they get on the TARDIS. They're like, it's just a police box. Let's go inside. All of us? Yeah. You want to try to fit all four of us in there? Sure, why not? Yeah. And they go inside. No one said, but it's so much bigger on the inside.
Right. There was no.
They just said, how'd you get all this stuff in here? You know, oh, dimensional, whatever it is.
Dimensional engineering.
There's no such thing as that. Well, maybe not for you.
So here's something that I found interesting.
Yes.
With the new design of the TARDIS, and I don't know if you noticed this or not, even the outside's different. She's got an embossed plate on her.
She makes the comment, like, oh, you've upgraded yourself.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, oh, I lost my key. The door opens. So obviously the TARDIS likes her. She does say several times she loves the TARDIS.
Yeah.
But so when she walks in, it actually, like, it used to be that the door would open and you were in the TARDIS.
Yes.
Now it looks like the box is there, and then the back wall of it is just missing, and that's where the TARDIS is.
Yes.
It actually looks like there's a little alcove.
Yes, I noticed that this time.
Which is odd.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was designed that way, or if they're like, well, we're trying something new.
Also, the inside of the TARDIS looks less homey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, by the time Capaldi got done with it, there were bookshelves and chairs and chalkboards.
Yep.
And this one's got, like, crystals growing out of it.
Yeah. Oh, you got a new look. I love it, too. And, like, that was
absolutely love it.
Yeah, but I don't know if I do.
I don't either. I'm going to have to see it in action for a bit.
I mean, the command module, whatever you want to call it, the driver's seat, I don't know. It's in the center. It's round, but it's got new mechanisms on it. She's got like an hourglass, which was kind of neat.
I saw behind the scenes, and the guy was talking about it, and they said that more than ever before, they wanted to make sure that it was very physical and that there was, like, lots of stuff to flip and touch and poke and prod and, you know, because it should never be automatic. The doctor's always about that physicality of having to flip switches. And, but, yeah, it was odd. I don't know how I feel about it just yet.
I agree. But Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor is awesome.
Yep. And now we know that this season it looks like the Stenza is the thread that runs through the whole thing.
That appears to be.
If that's not like just the MacGuffin for what's really there, you know? I'm loving Jodie, though.
Oh, yeah. She's absolutely. So me, too. She's excellent. She's really, really good. And I don't know. Not like I was worried that they had a woman doctor. It was, or any doctor. It was just like, how is this person going to play the doctor? Yeah. Because if you go back now to the history of the doctors for this release, whatever, this new run, you have Chris Eccleston and David Tennant and Matt Smith and Peter Capaldi. And then you had the war doctor, which doesn't count really. We're just going to leave that one out of it. Now you have Jodie Whittaker. And I never disliked any of them.
Right.
But now looking at like that group of five, Eccleston's definitely on the bottom of my list.
Yeah. I would put him there as well. I really liked his performance. It's not it's not like he gets an F.
Right.
I liked who he was.
No. But of these five doctors that we have on this run, he's definitely on the bottom. I don't know where I'd rate Jodie Whittaker at this point.
It's too early.
It's too early to tell. But like,
if it was just those four, this is going to sound bad, but my top used to be Tennant.
Yeah.
I think Capaldi's my top.
David Tennant's still my top.
I love David Tennant. He was my top. I think that some of the stuff that Capaldi did with his philosophies, with the anger that he could turn into productivity, watching him punch through that diamond wall over the course of billions of years.
Yeah.
Holy God. That just blew my mind. But, yeah, I think he'd be my top, and then Tennant, and then Smith. And, again, those are hair's breadth changes.
Yes.
These are not like, you know, A, B, C, D, E, like letter grades. These are like right up next to each other because each one of them brings their own thing.
And I think that's one of the things that's so great about it. And that's why I also like it. I mean, I know they haven't always done it that way, but when they have a new doctor and everything changes, all the companions are new and everything else, it's really nice.
Yes.
Except, I mean, River Song? Song. I could think of a swan. I knew it wasn't Swan. Couldn't get it out of me. I knew it wasn't Tam. Anyways. that would be my exception because that was done so well and so brilliantly with the different doctors and everything and how they told that story. Yes. That worked perfectly.
Yep.
But I really hope they figure out a way to have these two meet somehow.
I know.
You know, like, I know she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But if they could somehow figure out a way to have these two meet,
I'd love it.
That would be awesome.
Yep.
But otherwise, you know, I do like how they changed the companions and kind of start over. And this Doctor Who definitely had a different feel. You know, the opening the closing credits seem to be the same a lot song wise. But the opening credits, the three companions now, you know, her take of the Doctor, which is tremendous. I mean,
it still feels like Doctor Who.
That's the thing. Somehow, it definitely still feels like Doctor Who.
It
like,
really does.
And they've got this brilliance with this character that they've established how they can change the character over the years, and they've made it acceptable that no other show has been able to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you were to take another hit show and completely change the cast,
right?
But it's still, this main character still is this and still does it, it wouldn't work.
Right.
This works somehow.
It sure does.
And yeah, it's still the Doctor.
Yep.
It's awesome. I'm so excited the show is back.
Mm-hmm. I got a couple more things to talk about.
Yeah, go ahead.
I watched Bad Times at the El Royale.
Yes, you went to the theaters and saw that.
Yes.
How'd that treat you?
I don't know.
I
still don't know.
All the potential in the world to be great, but at the same time, disappointing.
It was very musical. Like, not as in, like, a musical, but they had a lot of soundtrack.
A lot of soundtrack, yeah.
Holy God.
That doesn't really surprise me.
The stories were told interestingly.
Yeah.
Each one of the characters kind of got, like, here they are, and then we get a little backstory of how they came here or what's up with it. It was a very dark movie.
Doesn't surprise me.
Not just because it was at night. It was a very twisted movie.
Yeah.
And violent. I legitimately jumped at one point.
Really?
I don't jump.
No.
Even watching horror movies, at one point I legitimately jumped in my seat like, because something took me so by surprise. It looked like I had to feel my chest. I was like,
Holy crap.
And there was some violent killing that was almost over the top. Not as in like gore wise, but as in like, oh my God, I can't believe that they just killed that person that violently and that quickly. So, but I still don't know how I feel about it. It wasn't bad.
Okay.
But I can't recommend going to the movies to see it.
Okay.
Maybe when it comes out on Blu-ray, Redbox.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. What else?
Just a couple pieces of news that I found very interesting this week.
Sure.
Apparently, Steve Moffat and Mark Gatiss
are
teaming up again. They're going to make a Dracula series that will be coming to the BBC and Netflix. It'll be BBC and Britain, and it'll be Netflix for everyone else. And unlike Sherlock, you know, they're not going to make it a modern adaptation. They're going to have it take place during the time period of Bram Stoker's Dracula. And it'll be 3 90-minute episodes to start with.
Well, I'm not going to dismiss it.
No, because they've done some good work.
They've done some great stuff in the past, so I'm anxious to see what it is.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's BBC and Netflix, not BBC, BBC America.
Right.
But then again, Sherlock was on PBS.
Right.
So, okay.
The other one I just saw tonight before I came over here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about this, but it did make me smile. NBC is doing a reboot, question mark, offshoot, question mark, of Grimm with a female lead.
Trouble?
That's what I'm hoping. They said that it will be new characters as well as old favorites returning. So that tells me it's not a reboot, it's an offshoot or a spinoff.
I'm looking it up. Grimm spinoff with a female lead in the works at NBC.
I'm kind of excited about this because
I really
early Grimm was great.
I really enjoyed the first few seasons of Grimm.
And if they could recapture that kind of magic, you know, go back to the Grimm dark stuff. And hunting down the monsters and having the lore behind them and get away from all the, you know, keys and babies that can change people's minds and stuff. You know, give us Trouble and give us a team and maybe bring in Monroe and Rose.
Okay, well, it says here the entitled spinoff hails from the writer and executive producer Melissa Glenn, who recent TV writing credits include Iron Fist Season 2.
Sounds good to me.
Sean Hayes and Todd Milliner, who are the executive producers on the original show, will also executive produce the spinoff.
Okay.
Under their Hazy Mills banner. David Greenwald and Jim Cove, two of the original series' three co-creators, will serve as consulting producers.
So if they were part of the original creation team, then that could be good.
According to the official description, the new show builds off the mythology of the original series, will feature returning fan favorites while introducing new characters, new dangers, new mysteries.
And that's all they'll say so far. But I'm kind of excited about that.
I am too.
See what they're going to do with it. Again, get rid of some of the stupid drama aspects. Don't bring Juliet back. If they're like, Juliet will be the main character.
No, no, fuck that. I really enjoyed. Probably just hit my knee.
Ow! That, leg. Yeah, that looked like it hurt you a lot.
The first five seasons, I guess, I really really enjoyed.
I enjoyed them less as the seasons went on, just because we started getting into.
Well, the sixth season, aspect. Not so much. But I enjoyed the first couple seasons, especially. I really really enjoyed
when it was really dark.
Yes,
and really.
Grim.
But we had the trailer, we had the weapons, you know, they had to research the lore of the creatures and figure out how they were going to kill them.
I think when Juliet basically came back as the villain, that's when it did, yeah.
And when, what's her name?
Trouble?
No. the one that Nick ended up with.
Oh, see, I enjoyed that part of the that series, though. Those two, Adeline.
Adeline, when they got together.
Yes.
But when we first got the whole, you know, oh, is she ex-meese, isn't she ex-meese? Oh, well, she gave birth to, you know, this child, and who's the real father? And yeah. Blah, blah. It was annoying. And then when the child came back and, you know, could do everything and had the purple eyes and would be like, Mommy's going to do this. And you're like,
But I did enjoy a lot of the show.
Yes.
This will be exciting to see. If they keep it bare bones, it'll be great.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, I don't know if we talked about this last week, so I don't know when it came out, but James Gunn's going to write and direct Suicide Squad Part 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good job, Marvel. It's the first false step I think I've seen them take.
Yep.
I think I was recently reading that, like...
remember, it was Disney, not Marvel.
Disney has basically said, like, maybe we jumped the gun too hard and went too harsh on James Gunn.
Wait, jumped the
gun? but James Gunn and even Roseanne.
Really?
Yeah. But before we start recording, my buddy Brandon tweeted that he really enjoyed The Conners tonight. I was surprised how much he liked it.
Nice.
So I look forward to watching it as well, so I can see if I like it. That's it for me.
That's all I got.
Cool. We'll talk to you all next week. Probably definitely talking about Haunting of Hill House. And until then.
And Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. And other shows. But until then, I'm Superstar Mel on the Twitter.
I'm at the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And that's it. Thanks.